It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hey, Earn Your Spurs listeners. Welcome to episode 53 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. Now, I know the show's been on hiatus for a couple of months, and some of you have probably been wondering where it went. The truth is, I just needed to kind of take a brief pause and look at where I really wanted to see this podcast go. And if you listened to the last episode, which came out in January on goal setting, I mentioned that what I really wanted to accomplish this year on the podcast is to help those of you who have something that you want to accomplish to actually set those goals and make it happen. You know, I want to work on confidence building and motivation and really just helping you feel like you've made progress this year with your horses or whatever it is within the Western lifestyle that you personally want to accomplish. So I decided for at least the next several episodes to bring in a co-host. And I considered, you know, quite a few different people and thought about what I really was looking for in a co-host. And I finally came up with someone who has actually been on the a guest on the podcast before. You may remember her from a previous episode last summer. And she is all about motivating people as well. I also recently wrote a blog post entitled, "This Part-Time Cowboy Life, Is It Really Worth It All?" And the point of that was to kind of look at some of the challenges that we face, those of us who maybe have a regular job and we're trying to squeeze in our horse time after work and on the weekends. We may or may not have a very good support system that goes along with that. And I just wanted to look at some of the struggles that we face and kind of determine why we do those things, at least why I do them, why even with the challenges that come along with this lifestyle, it's completely worth it to me to pursue it because of the benefit that I get from it. I happened to get quite a bit of positive feedback on that blog post, so I decided that today my new shiny co-host and I would talk about that topic in particular, because I think it's something really important for everyone to consider, you know, especially if you do have goals that you want to accomplish, because at times you are going to get discouraged. I mean, it's just a given, you know, things aren't always going to go the way you want them to. And when that happens, you need to be able to look within and know why you're doing this. Because if you don't have a good reason, it is going to be that much easier for you to just give up. So as you listen to today's show, I really want you to think about what those things are for you that make this lifestyle worthwhile. I know the suspense is probably killing you by now. So I'll go ahead and jump into the show and introduce you to my brand new co-host. So we are here today on the podcast, finally back after a couple months hiatus, and I'm really excited because I actually have a co-host with me today. And I mentioned in the last episode that I wanted to do a lot more motivational type stuff this year on the podcast and really help those of you who are, you know, working with your horses and wanting to just improve your riding skills, your horsemanship, or any other, you know, Western lifestyle type goals you're working towards. And so I have someone here with me today who has been on the podcast before, and she's going to be joining me here in the future. And, you know, she's really excited to help people and motivate them with their goals. And you may remember Andrea Otley. She was on the podcast last summer. And she talked about her business that she actually helps horse people get in better shape so that they can do more with their horses. So, Andrea, why don't you just tell a little bit about yourself? I'm sure you can give us a little background on how you got started in what you're doing now, and also just, you know, what brought you to sort of this lifestyle.
Sure, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited about our next few months together and
just
helping people in that positive realm, because we definitely need this in that this day and age. So
totally.
Yeah, I am really this horse crazy wife and mom. I've got three kids, 11, 7, and she'll be 2 in July, 2 boys and a girl. And we live in southeastern Oregon in a small ranching community. It's a family-owned operation, cow-calf ranch, and that's been in, I guess with my kids, it'll be the 5th generation. So really deep roots here, really small community. And I just have always, I can't remember not loving horses. Santa, when I was 6, he brought me a horse. That was the first horse I learned how to gallop on. I remember that. And so, you know, it's just been a thing for forever. And I love rain cow horse is kind of really what I'm into right now. I love the 3 events with the herd work and going down the fence and turning a cow. And then of course the reining part of it. And it just goes kind of hand in hand, because we use the horses on the ranch to get the job done every day, you know, to get the cattle moved around and turn. Right now we're turning cows out for the summer. And so we use horses for everything here. And then what I like, it's a challenge for me to put the finishing touches on them, so they're polished up enough to go to town and compete on them. And then my husband is a bronc rider. He rides saddle bronc. And I am not a very good, I'm a fan of rodeo for sure, but what I don't do well is sit in the stands. So if I'm going to go to rodeo, I'm going to compete. So I also barrel racing. I love to barrel race. I just have been kind of out of the barrel racing horses for a little bit. So I've got a colt that I'm going to get started this summer. So yeah, that's kind of a little of my background, I guess. And if you do not have health and fitness, you know, if you're not healthy and you're not fit, it's always a work in progress. Like, no one's perfect, but if that's not something that's a priority in your life, then you're not gonna do as well, and your quality of life is not gonna be there. So that's a huge part of our lifestyle and what I do kind of on the side too, is to help people stay motivated and pick the right programs to get results. So
yeah, and that is really important, and something that so many of us kind of don't make a top priority in our lives. And it's one of those things for many of us, we get busy and that sort of maybe goes by the wayside. And it's the same thing with our horses too, at least for me. Like, I get really busy and sometimes my horses don't get as much attention as they should either. So those are a couple things that probably a lot of us can work on a little bit. So did you grow up on the ranch in Adel?
Yeah. So I was born and raised here. Yep. My great grandfather settled here. He actually came from Ireland and he settled here in 1918. So it's almost been 100 years in the family.
That's awesome.
I went away for a little bit to go to college, and my dad's like, go, you know, don't be here. Go get a degree, go get a real job, you know, support your, get away. And so I did, I got a college degree and got a job in an office, and it lasted exactly 10 months. And I got married, you know, to my cowboy husband, and I quit the job immediately to be back on the ranch and to ride horses.
I can totally see that. You know, it's funny how parents, you know, think that they're going to raise us this way, you know, around horses or on a ranch or whatever, and then send us away and say, oh, I want something better for you. And it's like, well, what's better than that?
I mean, come exactly.
On.
Yeah.
Come on, Dad.
Yeah.
But I was kind of the same way, because my dad's a horse trainer, and, you know, it's not exactly the easiest or most stable career. And he taught my brother and I how to start colts and stuff, but he didn't actually want us to do it if we could avoid it. You know, he wanted us to find something else to do. And then if we had to, we knew how, you know, so it is funny how parents can be like that.
Well, and they do it from a place of love for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't want to be a, you know, a rancher and have to suffer and bad weather and no money and all these things, you know, work 24/7. That was always his thing, because he's such a workaholic. And it, you know, living on the ranch, there are, I mean, It starts at daylight and goes way past dark. You know, everything that you have to do to keep it running. But gosh dang, I got so homesick when I was away. I just, I look at these mountains that I can see every day, you know, that where there's not, there's way more sagebrush and jackrabbits and cattle than there are people and roads and buildings. And, you know, I just look at these, seriously the mountains, because I just have such a connection to the soil and just the land and the landmarks that have been here for just years and years and years. Just say, you know, it's the same scenery that my great grandfather saw, and it just gets in you. It gets in you. Right. And you don't care how hard you work. You just, you appreciate it and you love it. And that's how I want my kids to be. I want my kids to stay here and keep the legacy going for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing that you have the opportunity too, because, you know, that family ranches are not so common anymore as they used to be. And, you know, I live in Montana, there's ranches everywhere, but not very many of them are still owned by families like that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very true. It's not all roses by any means. No. There's a lot of things. No,
but
happen.
It's like, I mean, you love it and it's part of who you are, and it's, you know, it's a prideful thing. You're proud of the skills that you have and the fact that, you know, you can do stuff that so many people can't. And that actually, I mean, I'm glad we kind of got on this topic, because it really goes into what I wanted to talk about anyway today, which is a blog post I recently wrote that was about being a part-time cowboy, and is it really worth all that you put into it? And, you know, obviously you're more than part-time. You're kind of full-time. Your family, you know, living on the ranch. But so many people just, you know, they maybe do work a normal job and they have all these demands that are totally outside of that realm. And then, you know, they want to go compete on the weekends with their horses or go trail riding or, you know, just try and fit that sort of cowboy part of their life in. And I know that's a struggle for a lot of people. And so I guess what I was trying to touch on was, why do we do it? Why do we put ourselves through this? And, you know, I know I felt that way myself, because I work a normal 8-to-5 job right now. And, you know, like I said, sometimes other things get in the way of the things I really want to do with my horses. And so I kind of went through and just pulled out the things that I thought were the reasons that I would never, like, give up this way of life and never just, like, walk away from my horses, because it might be a struggle sometimes to pay the feed bill or whatever, or the colic surgery bill.
Yeah.
One of the things that I actually mentioned in this blog post was that part of the appeal of this lifestyle to me is the actual struggle itself, because it means something to be able to live this way and to be able to challenge yourself in different ways all the time and do things that most people don't do. I mean, do you think that's part of the appeal to you as well?
Yeah, you know, it's got to be. I can think of so many different times when that's happened, just like in the day-to-day work. I can remember a time when we were trailing cows in the fall home from out east here, out east of Adel, the old MC, that, you know, there was the MC ranch. It was here. Yeah. It's kind of a historic, infamous, I would say.
Yeah, place, Ian Tyson, okay. Right? MC Horses.
Yeah, exactly. So before we had kids, my husband and I were actually out there. The ranchers got together and formed a co-op and then took over the grazing rights, the AUMs that went along with that MC Desert. So east of here, it's a huge allotment. And they got together and turned all their cows out in common. So that's actually how I met my husband. But anyway, we took the job to take care of the cattle. And I can remember one day we were trailing the cattle in, and there's probably, it was huge. And then we didn't have, it's always, that's how it is. It's these stories. We didn't have enough help. There was probably 1200 cows strung out along the road. We had to get there. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, this is good, let's just go home. Or, you know, like you can't time out. You can't like clock out and be like, oh, I'll finish tomorrow. You have to get there. And I can remember I was already, one horse was already done. He was so tired. I just hobbled him alongside the road, got a new, fresher horse, started working. My dogs were already done way early in the morning. They were too hot, too thirsty. And when I went to get this fresh horse, someone had let my dogs out of the trailer that they were in. You know, I had to put them away because they were going to kill their, you know, border collies do not quit when they're working. You know, you have to put them up. So I put my dogs up. And someone accidentally let them out, and they're not, my dogs will only listen to me. So the person's trying to put them back. Oh no. So my dogs catch up to me. It's like, I don't know, late in the afternoon, and we're almost there. And we just got to mash on these cows to get them there. And I am horse, and my dogs catch up with me, you know, horse from yelling. My dogs catch up with me, and they just go to work. I can tear up. I'm sorry, but I can tear up right now thinking about the heart that those dogs had for me. You know what I mean? So it is the struggle. And this is, you know, a decade ago that happened, and I can conjure up that story, but it just has something to do with that grit and determination. Yes. When you're forced to do something like that, that you have to get the job done. And there's just too much in this day and age, I think, aside from our lifestyle, it's just too easy to get divorced or get rid of your friends or get rid of your job or give up on something because you don't like how uncomfortable you are in that moment. So you quit because, you know, really, who cares? And that's what this way of life offers us, I think, is it divorce is not very, you know, of course people fight and do all those things, but my family has all been married forever. Dusty, my husband's the same way. I mean, it happens, but it is just that life, just being connected to each other and just knowing that you're a part of something bigger and that your job has to get done. So struggle is, there's, geez, we could sit here for hours talking about how that forms your character and makes you into a stronger person for sure. Yeah. Stories upon stories.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think you know, the same thing goes with when you're dealing with a horse, because you can't give up on a horse either, or obviously you're either going to create bigger problems for yourself or you're just never going to advance. You're never going to get anywhere. And that's, you know, it's not like learning to ride a bike or learning to golf or something. You've got you and an animal and you're trying to work together. And that's really, it's a really challenging thing to do. And I mean, you compete in one of the most challenging events there is. And because you have to do three different events, and I've done it, which is why I know it's so hard. You know, you don't pick that because it's easy. But I just think that's why this is so important and so appealing for a lot of people, because it's not easy to find that kind of challenge elsewhere, and why so many people want to raise their kids that way, which sort of brings me into the next point, which is, you know, that's another reason I would never give up this life, because I think it is so important for kids to learn that same grit and determination that you were talking about.
Yeah. You know, well, first of all, you know, just tying it into my own health and fitness, when we think about where our food comes from, you know, there's all this stuff in the news about GMOs and just organic and all natural and chemicals and all blah, blah, blah. But does anyone really know where their food comes from?
Right.
Unless you can be where you can see it grow.
Right.
And yeah. So, and just have that respect for, well, what is the purpose of what we're doing? And a large part of it is to provide food. That's what the cows are. You know, it's definitely a way of life, but it's learning that respect for life, learning where milk comes from, learning where meat comes from, having the garden, just understanding how much goes into producing our food, and then just that respect for it, for sure. It just,
And it's amazing how many people that have grown up in a city or have never been around livestock at all, they just don't understand anything about it, for one, which is understandable because they've never been exposed to it. But also, there's so many misconceptions out there in our constantly connected world that's, you know, you see headlines on Facebook or whatever that sound really scary, but you don't really know what they mean. And I'm kind of referring to just some different things that you see out there, like what was it? Was it Chipotle that said they would not serve meat that had been raised with antibiotics or something like that?
Yeah, I think Subway was on a big deal with that.
But what most people don't understand is that, you know, there's actually not any antibiotics in the meat once it's harvested, because the USDA doesn't allow for that. So that's just one of the things that can be very easily misconstrued in people's conceptions.
Yes, very true. Misconceptions.
Yeah. So that's another nice reason to definitely expose your kids to that way of life. But to me, I just think kids learning how to work because they have to, because there's like a purpose behind it. It's not just, you know, do this chore just for the heck of it. They can see why it's important that they do the work, and they learn a strong work ethic from doing it, because it's just, you know, it's, I don't know how to explain it. I think it's something that's really hard to replicate outside of, you know, a hardworking lifestyle. It doesn't necessarily have to be on a ranch, but, you know, maybe your dad works construction and you learn how to do carpentry or build houses or whatever. It's the same sort of thing, but with animals, you understand inherently that you have this responsibility, and it's really important.
Yep, I think just that sense of responsibility, learning consequences of their actions, so you do quit, or you do give up, or you don't want to take care of the animal, what would happen, you know, right, if that they depend on you, that something exactly else is dependent upon you to take care of it. That's huge.
Yeah, and that's something my dad ingrained in me from so early on. It's, you know, it's not anything that I will ever forget. It's just, you know, it is, when you have horses or animals, you know, they get fed first and you take care of them before you take care of yourself. And that's just the way it is. I mean, you just learn that.
Yep.
So another thing I kind of touched on was just how important my identity is to me as far as this lifestyle is concerned, and what that means to me. Because I feel like, you know, I grew up in this way of life and riding horses and competing, and there's definitely a big part of who I am as a person that's tied to that. And I feel like if I were to give that all up, you know, there'd still be a part of that there, but it would almost be like giving up part of who I am. And you kind of mentioned that earlier, like when you went to work at a regular job and then ended up back at the ranch. So I'm sure you feel that too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly what happened. And it was good for me to prove it to myself, to, you know, because you take, as you become an adult and you go out into the real world and you take on the responsibilities of the rent and the car payment and the insurance and the fuel and the groceries and all those things, you have to figure out a way to pay for it. And
right,
so that's what I was trying to do, you know, live in town and have the office job with my college degree and clock in at 8 and go home at 5 and try to ride my horse on the weekends. And it was just something, I was dying inside. I just was sitting there just thinking about the next barrel race on the weekend, or I didn't want the bulk of my day to be spent wishing I was someplace else. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I quit my job and we moved back, and just that feeling of, it was the biggest relief. I just felt like I was putting on an old pair of pants that I hadn't worn forever. You know, I just felt so comfortable, and it's just who I am. And people need to understand that if you're in a job or a situation that you do not feel like you should be in, then you might not have the ability to just walk away at that moment.
Right.
But, you know, look in the weeks and the months ahead and do everything that you can to get into something that makes you feel alive. Like you can go do it and the clock doesn't matter. That's what, when I'm with my horses, when I'm down in the arena and I'm working on, working towards a show that I have, and I don't even care if it's a colt or one of my finished horses. It doesn't matter. I don't know what's on my phone as far as who's messaging me. I don't know what my schedule looks like. The world flat disappears and it's just me and that horse. And you're just in a level of presence that it's just God. I just know that's what it is. And it's really, mm-hmm. You can't describe it with my words, no way can do it justice, but it's just such a feeling of love and fulfillment and joy that you just know that's what you're meant to be doing. And part of it is just being in communication, you know, just such a presence and communication with another live being that you're not talking, you're not using your words, and you're not really, it's just feel. It's a feel communication. And it's a miracle. I think it's just absolutely amazing, that feeling that I get when I'm with my horses. And I just can't. Yeah. Yeah. So that is what makes all the rest of it worth it. Like you're saying, the vet bills and the high expense, you know, to feed them and the response, you know, you can't just, well, we went on vacation for 10 days. We actually got to get away from here for a little bit. And it's a pain in the butt, right? To have to find somebody to feed your horses, to have it all lined up. Cause you have a routine. Like you don't want people messing with your routine. Right. And then you gotta find somebody that you trust to take care of them. And then you worry the whole time, well, what if one of them got out, or what if somebody got in the fence, or this, and then not just the horses, but then I think we had two cats and three dogs. And what else did we have? You know, my mom's got, her and my boys have a connect. They've got a project going on with the milk cows. So you just got to make sure that everything's taken care of. You can't just be like, oh, okay, locking the doors and off I go. You got total.
Oh yeah.
It's hard to leave.
It really
but
is.
It's worth it. Just is worth it because for what it gives back to you. That's for sure.
I agree. I mean, that was actually the last point I made was why, you know, about this lifestyle and why it's so appealing, even with all of its struggle, is the animals, and especially with horses being, you know, having that communication with them and really feeling like you have this relationship that you could never have with another person or another animal. And I learned that really early on in my life. I mean, I was in love with my horse when I was a teenager, and that's what kind of kept me out of trouble. You know, I high school rodeoed and that was my main thing. And, you know, I had so much love for that horse that I never had any issues with boys in high school because she was my number one, you know, and that's like, I think the number one thing is giving that up would be really painful because, you feel differently when you're out there with your horses than any other time. And it's not always instant that happens, you know, when you're starting a new horse or you just got a new horse or something. I mean, it takes a while to develop that relationship sometimes, but that's what makes it even more worthwhile, I think.
Yeah. There can be just times when I don't like to just train all the time. You know, I love to get, that's what another really cool thing about living here is it's really easy to get our horses outside. And I try to do that every other ride. You know, I just saddle them up and just step on them and then just trot off. And I'll just go trot for, you know, half an hour in one direction and just posting along, you know, and you just see nothing but sagebrush. And there's, it's just you, and you can just hear the sounds and smell the smells and just feel just that rhythm of their trot. And I just take these big deep breaths in and then deep breaths out, and it just relaxes me. It's just such a stress reliever just to have that, just to see their little ears perked and they're enjoying the ride and you're enjoying it. And it's just awesome. I don't think I could even do it justice to explain it.
Oh yeah. I know. I know what you mean because that's the one time when if I'm out riding and it doesn't even matter what I'm doing, I'm not thinking about anything else usually, unless I'm like just walking along really slowly and my mind starts to wander. But if I'm just enjoying, like you were talking about, just being outside and looking around at how beautiful it is and just like enjoying it, you don't think about other things. You just think about, you're in the moment. And it's the same when I'm training on a horse too, because I'm obviously focused on what I'm doing. I'm not thinking about anything else. And that's just really nice. It's like, it's an escape. It's like a, meditation, you know, you
can
get away from everything else.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And if you could imagine just having that taken away from you, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yes. It,
well, and you know, in those last few months and weeks of being pregnant, for sure, you know, you take that, you gotta not ride, and
the only thing
that lets you, you know, you have that hope again, like the baby comes and then, okay, there is hope in the future, I will start riding again, which makes it tolerate, you know, you can tolerate it. But man, if you were for some, I think about that a lot, you know, just like, if that was taken away from me, that's the one thing I would not be able to handle it well at all. I really have to do some changing and shifting to figure out how to find joy in my life if I had my horse taken away.
Yeah, I agree. And being in my third trimester, I did try and ride a couple weeks ago because it was just so beautiful out, and I shouldn't say I tried to ride. I did ride, but it was a little uncomfortable. And I just decided after that, you know, I just, my poor horses, I feel terrible for them. They're so bored and I need to be riding them, but I just can't because they're not going to just want to walk along all leisurely right now. They're crushed and they want to, you know, do stuff, as do I. And with my belly the way it is right now, I just was too uncomfortable and too, I don't know, nervous about it. So I'm like, okay, I just got to suck it up for a few more months. And then I'll be able to ride again, maybe towards like the fall.
Exactly. It'll go by so fast. It will.
Yeah.
But I know. Like, after three kids, I know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's only temporary. So, and, you know, I'm just excited that when I do have this baby, that I'll be able to teach her all the things that, you know, were instilled in me when I was a kid. And I think that she's going to be pretty lucky to have horses and learn all those things that I did. And I keep working on my parents, trying to get them to move to Montana so Grandpa can help her out. But I haven't succeeded yet.
Yeah, it magnifies it all like tenfold. The feelings that we have for our own selves when we compete and ride, and that bond that we have with horses. My oldest son has taken up cutting. So, and that's something that he does with his grandparents. They go up and compete at least once a month in some sanctioned classes. Sometimes I turn back for him, but sometimes I'm just standing there watching and I just can't even breathe. I can't move. And he just rides in there so cool and calm, and his little horse works so nice. But the feeling of excitement and just, rooting for him, and just the proudness, you know, just to have him feel so proud. Because when all their grandkids turn two, they got them all saddles. That's the thing. They didn't even get to hand them down. It was every grandkid gets a new saddle. So they buy them. They are so cute too. These little, I think they're made in New Mexico. I'll have to get the name of the company, but they are the cutest. Yeah. They're like swell forked, little, dish cannel, little, just little post horn. They are so, and they just hold those kids in so good. And they go pretty short, like they can ride them for quite a while, and they just, you know, you got to have good equipment for these kids.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, all of ours started riding when they were by themselves. I mean, we had them on the horses when they were 6 months old, you know, but
yeah,
they started riding, you know, so we lead them around. We've got some pretty good old horses, but lead them around, and they'd ride in their little saddles and just learned, it's almost like learning to swim, you know. They just learned how to, the feel of the horse and the cadence, and they just never have had any fear of it ever. And then they just, you know, they learn to rope and they learn to do all the things that we do. And it's just fun to watch them. It's just, oh, yeah, man, it's really fun.
I'm sure. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
I have my old college barrel horse. He's 20. I think he's 20 this year. So hoping he'll hold out for a few more years. So the baby can ride him when she gets big enough. But that's it's nice to have those kind of horses around for sure.
Oh man. And not all of them make kids horses either. I had an old bridle horse that I just, oh man, I did love showing that horse. And you know, he got to be 20, 22, and I thought, well, he'll be, you know, we try him for Ira, and oh, no. He just scared the tar out of him, so we're like, no, this isn't going to work.
Well, mine has had kids on him before, bigger, you know, like 8 or 10-year-old kids, and he gets a little amped up outside, but in the arena, he will go as slow as you let him. It's like,
that's amazing.
He is just so happy to be not having to go out of a trot ever. So
that's really cool.
It works pretty well. Yeah. Well, you know, I think we covered that topic pretty well. So I know we could go on talking for like hours, but we're trying not to go too long, and I'm looking at my watch here. So is there anything else you want to mention before we go today?
No, I'm like you, you know, the second best thing to actually being out there doing it is talking about doing it. So it could go on, but I'll refrain.
I know. It's easy to get carried away on the stuff, but yeah, so thank you for joining me today. This was really fun, and I'm looking forward to doing the next few episodes with you, and we'll be talking about some different topics. And if anybody out there has suggestions or, you know, has questions for Andrea or me, definitely reach out. You can send an email at earnyourspurs.com and give them your, do you have a website also, Andrea, you want to mention?
Probably right now, like just like you said, in order to, you know, just ask questions and contact me, find me on Facebook is probably the best way. I'm pretty active on there. So if you just typed my name into the search of Facebook, you'd find me easily. So you can message me there or email me at, it's just my last name, first name. So OtleyAndrea@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll put a link in the show notes so people can reach you or me either way. Ask any questions or, you know, give us some feedback on what they'd like to hear about. My main goal here is to help people just to get motivated and get out there and accomplish their goals. And so, whatever we can do to facilitate that, we'd be glad to.
Yeah. And it'd be kind of fun, like people listening right now, sorry for my ignorance, but it's got places for comments when they listen to us right now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I would love to read their stories about, you know, how connected they are, like their first time with the horse, or that'd be awesome to read some of their stories. They should leave that info. It'd be fun.
Yeah. And I had some comments on the blog post on this topic. So maybe we'll get some more on the podcast too. That would be great to hear from people and definitely chime in, because it's nice to know who's out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks, Andrea. And we will just go ahead and wrap up there. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast and my new awesome co-host, Andrea Otley. We're going to be covering several different topics in the upcoming months. So please, if you have anything specific that you would like us to talk about, reach out to either of us. You can send me an email at earnyourspurs.com or find Andrea on Facebook, like she mentioned. We would be just ecstatic to hear from you. One last thing I want to mention before we go, I'm going to be offering a free 4-part email series that you can sign up for at earnyourspurs.com. There'll probably be a couple places where you can sign up for it, but you can find it in the show notes for this episode at earnyourspurs.com/episode53. And this email series is really going to give you some tools to accomplish your goals this summer, regardless of how big or small those goals are, whether they're in relation to competition or trail riding, it doesn't matter. I want to help you to really determine what it is you want to accomplish and then go out and do it. And if you happen to be one of those fortunate people who can ride all year round because you live in beautiful weather, that's awesome. Those of us who live in Montana or anywhere else in the north, you know, there's kind of a premium on summer around here. So we have to get a lot done in a short amount of time because we just don't have the weather to allow us to get a lot done with our horses all year round. So those of you who are in the same position as me will especially find this useful, because you don't want to let those summer months pass you by and then get to the end and say, wow, I sure didn't get to ride as much as I wanted to this summer. Or, you know, I rode, but I sure didn't feel like I accomplished much this summer with my horse. So definitely sign up for that if you would like to take advantage of it. And there will be some more information included in that email series about, you know, how you can really get serious about accomplishing your goals this summer, and some even more intensive ways that I can help you do that. All right, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely reach out to Andrea or myself, and we will see you on the next episode of the Earn Your Spurs Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs Podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.